From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of August 2025. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We'll get right into things today as we have a full schedule. Corn in the September up 7 1/4 cents at 3.87 1/4. December at 4.11 3/4, 7 3/4 higher. And the March at 4.29 3/4, up 7 3/4 cents. Soybeans in the September, $10.34.5, 19.5 higher. November, $10.56, up 20. January at $10.73 3/4, up 18.5. Bean meal, $4.80 higher. The bean oil up $2.44. Wheat futures, soft red up 1.5, finished at $5.29 3/4. And the hard red at $5.26, up 2 3/4 cents. Matt Bennett with AgMarket.net now joins us to take a look at what's been happening at the CME Group in Chicago. Hi, Matt. Thanks for being with us. Tell me about the trade today. We have another little up move.
Yeah, definitely an up move. You know, to be honest with you, last night whenever we got the Illinois results, I thought maybe the overnight market would be a little excited on corn. It didn't really bat much of an eye. I mean, you start digging into those numbers, and if you take a, you know, pro farmer number and you bump it up, whatever it is, 3.9 bushel, or, you're still looking at a pretty massive drop from, you know, what the USDA is forecasting. So pro farmer at 199, USDA at 221. I mean, you could be talking a couple hundred million bushel actually just out of Illinois alone, if that's correct. So and you came in here this morning and there's a lot of scuttle about what exactly is getting into the bean and bean oil market. I do know that, you know, a couple of the announcements I saw didn't necessarily have a lot to do with bean oil. I mean, they were talking, you know, about what refinery exemptions might look like, and then that they're going to come out with new guidelines, if you will, that would embolden what we've already heard from the EPA. So I do think that probably played into soybean oil, but certainly a fantastic day for both corn and beans. I've got to think these two results have got something to do with it.
Okay. You've been around quite a bit, and you've been talking to producers at these Becknology days. Are you of a mind that 221 is just way too big? Is it the 217 they came out with last year? Do you think it's what, 210, 212 in Illinois?
Yeah, that's a great question, Todd. And I mean, it's hard to know. I mean, last week being in El Paso and talking to growers there, you know, one grower had told me that he was part of the problem with the USDA at 221 because he said that he was 240 for a whole farm average on what he reported to USDA. Now, he said that after walking the fields with his agronomist and he showed me pictures, that he had massive tip back and that his agronomist felt like he was closer to 200, so that's a pretty big drop. Now, I know we've got some tip back, we've got some insect or some disease pressure. In my opinion, Todd, if I was going to say right now, you know, I'm going to say something closer to 200 than 220. But it just depends on how everyone finishes. I think everyone's had kind of a rough finish in my part of the world, and I don't want to get backyarditis too bad.
When you talk to folks in the northern part of the state, and I made note of this a couple of times, and you'll hear it later in this program too, that the crop scouts, while they talked about southern rust, and we hear about it in Illinois, they made a much bigger deal of it, much tougher in Iowa, and I think Illinois may be far better off.
Yeah, I think when you get into northern Illinois, I've talked to some growers that have told me they've easily got the best crop they've ever seen. I think when you get south of Interstate 80, you start to run into some issues, especially for those that had a drier biased finish, first of all, and second of all, you know, your fungicide, clearly, for some folks, two applications might have been better. But I mean, try talking someone into doing that whenever you've got $4 corn. And so I totally understand the frustration and the dilemma that they're dealing with. But Illinois, in my opinion, I think there's going to be areas that are going to easily have the best yields they've ever seen. Whereas some areas, I think that growers are going to be sorely disappointed whenever they get into their field. So everything looks great from the road. We just have to be a little cautious as to assume that it's a as good out in the middle as what it looks from the roadside.
Regardless, I'll bet we'll have corn piles this fall and we'll have storage issues just because the soybeans aren't moving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I expect basis is going to be rough as a cob, especially right in the middle of harvest. You got huge carry on these beans. And so a lot of growers are sitting here saying, I may even put some beans in the bin this year. And I tell you what, I can't argue with that. I mean, you look at July beans today at over $11 and, you know, you start to look at some little better value. There. I mean, it's just massive carry to get out to summer. So it's something I think we need to pay very close attention to and try to play that game as much as possible.
What are you telling producers about what to do with the corn they might not store in that case?
Yeah, I just don't want us to take the basis in the middle of harvest. I'm afraid that's going to be a rough go. Storage obviously is very expensive. I think storing some, okay. I don't want to get too heavy on commercial storage just due to how expensive it is. And margins are so tight already that if I want to be patient until next spring, you know, I might have 50 cents a bushel wrapped up in that. While we can expect basis to improve, we don't know about futures, especially with a big crop. So I'm going to go ahead and get most of that locked in here soon, but I want to keep some upside open. So we've been just entering some May call spreads, something for, you know, a third to a half the cost of storage commercially. And it keeps us long until we get out there past February crop insurance and then the March planting intentions, because I do think you're looking at significantly smaller acreage here this next year whenever it comes to corn.
Thank you much. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with Ag Market. .net. Let's check in on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour. We're now joined by Oliver Sloop on this Thursday. Oliver, thank you for being with us all week and reporting. Can you start with some kind of the fundamentals that came out of Illinois for you as you were listening last night to what all the rest of the folks that were on the routes had to say about the state?
Well, it becomes kind of a recurring theme, and it's just underwhelming. And I've had to explain to people, you know, what I mean by underwhelming all week long. It's not that it's bad corn or terrible corn. It's really good corn out there. But coming into this week, the expectations were set just so high. And it's just, can you meet those expectations? Pro Farmer came out with Illinois at 199.57. That's below last year's 204.14. So again, underwhelming is the key there. Now, the margin for error for Pro Farmer versus the USDA's final number in Illinois is about 4.5 bushels. So if you tack that on to what they released last night, you're still looking basically right at last year's yield near 204. And that's well below what the USDA has estimated right now, which is 221. So falling short of expectations so far has been the theme. And I think you're starting to maybe see that add a little bit of a tailwind to prices here in today's trade.
You know, August last year, by the way, was 217 from USDA, so that number was large, kind of like this year. So, as you said, it's a big number regardless. It's just not as big as it had been. The good news is there's 8 cents on the marketplace. Because you're a broker, I'm going to ask you this question about this really quickly. Given the size of the crop, the fact that soybeans are unlikely to move, at least through November, unless there's some breakthrough in the trade agreements with China, and we might have some real issues with storage, do you think producers should take advantage of making cash sales that would have to go across the scale? I know it's a low price.
It is a low price. I think it probably is very dependent on each person's you know, situation. We work with a wide number of clients. Some have done really good at marketing this year. Some have maybe waited for a little bit better price action that just never came. So it's, you know, it depends on an individual situation. I would say we do get a nice rally like we've seen over the last week and a half. You should probably consider rewarding the market and protecting some of that downside, because if we do end up with decent weather here to round out this year's crop, there's, you know, potential for a retest of the recent lows. The upside, you know, potentially limited unless we do get some sort of trade agreement, which I'm not going to hold my breath for.
Okay, now let's turn your attention back to the task at hand, which is taking counts in the state of Iowa. You are south of Dyersville and to the north and east of Cedar Rapids in Jones County. What have you been finding?
So far, it's been pretty good corn. I would say quite a bit better than what we've seen in Illinois in the prior 2 days. A little bit more consistency here in Iowa. I think a lot better moisture situation has certainly helped things along. Through the first three districts yesterday, I think Pro Farmer came out with about a 200 bushel per acre average. So again, a little bit short of what the expectations are, but still really, really good corn. It'll be interesting to see what the final numbers for Iowa are tonight, and then what Pro Farmer puts out tomorrow afternoon with regards to a national estimate.
You're at the moment traveling through an area that extends through the southwestern part of Wisconsin that, generally speaking, does a lot of corn on corn acres. I'm wondering if you found anything that wasn't so good today.
There were a few little hiccups, but I would say for the most part, the consistency here in Iowa so far has been really key. We did drive past some areas on the highway that had obviously been hit by some storms and some hail, but largely speaking, things look a little bit more consistent than what we saw in the prior 2 days.
And one last thing, I know you stop every 20 miles and it's the first cornfield probably on the right or something along those lines after that. When you go in, do you have a set number of paces that you walk into a field?
Yeah, so we go 35 paces in past the end row, and then we hook the 30-foot rope and count the ears on each side, and then we pull ears 5, 8, and 11, so we can stay consistently random, I guess is the way to put it.
That is a good way to do it. Thank you much, and thank you so much for being with us all week, Oliver.
Thank you. Take care.
Oliver Sloop is with Blue Line Futures, traveling on the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the western leg, we've been talking to Sherman Newland this week. He now joins us. Hey, thank you much, Sherman, for being with us. And congratulations on being awarded last night as a Master Scout. I bet that's kind of a big thrill. There can't be too many of you, I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know how many there are, but yeah, it was sure a surprise last night, to say the least. You know, they usually give them out on Friday night, but since Chip wasn't going to be here tonight, they decided to do it last night.
Yeah, I know. He's a big Iowa State fan, so he had to fly out for that game in Ireland. but you know, that's we'll forgive him for that.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
That's okay. That's okay. So you have been traveling in the northwestern part of Iowa. I think you started today, not very much, and then mostly along I-94 in Minnesota, not actually on 94 or thereabouts, but really close. What'd you find today?
Yeah, we didn't make any stops in Iowa, but we had to get up here in the southwest corner of Minnesota. We've been in Nobles County, Murray County, Cottonwood, Watonwan, and Martin County today. A lot better than what we saw last year, that's for sure. We've had 10 stops in District 7 and 8. Our corn truck average is 212 year over year. That's 29% over last year, which is 164, 19% over 2023, which is 177. Soy, we have 1,300 pod counts. That is up 10% from last year and up 15% from 2023. Overall, pretty good crop, not a lot of disease, a little bit of rust. You know, last year they had so much rain in through here that, you know, drowned out a lot of areas, but things are progressing pretty well. A lot of the corn's in early dent stage. You know, so overall, it's kind of like what we saw in Iowa, pretty good looking, you know, lush looking crop.
Yeah, so in Iowa, you traveled through the most productive district in the state year in and year out. That's the central district in the western part of the state. You're also in one of the most productive areas of Minnesota today. When you talked to your fellow scouts last night about other parts of Iowa, were they as impressed with the crop as you were?
In spots. I mean, they saw a lot of rust. They really did see a lot of rust. We saw some, you know, we saw a couple of fields that may, you know, end up hurting the yield on those fields, but they had a representative there from BASF. And his comment was they didn't know of some of that corn was going to make it to black layer before it starts shutting down because of the rust. So we'll see. Still a good crop out there, I mean, in Iowa. But, the disease is kind of surprising how quick it takes over and how bad it is in some fields, and then not bad, not near as bad in others.
When you think about the whole of what you've seen and what you've scouted in your part of the world, near Hudsonville, which would be kind of the Terre Haute area, just for lack of a better place to put it, Indiana, but you're on the Illinois side. What do you think of the crop as a whole, do you suppose?
As a whole, I mean, it's a big crop. It's going to be a big crop now. But I'm beginning, beginning to think, we're not probably going to maybe reach the lofty goals of what USDA put out there. I mean, I could see them dropping this corn yield 2 or 3 bushel anyway. It wouldn't surprise me with the disease and what they found in northern Illinois in some of the dry areas. But the western states, I mean, you can talk about Kansas, you talk about Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, they're going to be quite a bit above average. So, I mean, we could come in a little bit below USDA numbers, but overall, it's still going to be a big crop, no matter how we cut it.
Somebody had asked me on X what the trade was thinking and what you guys were working with a couple of days ago. And I said, well, I really didn't know, but that it was about how good the crop was going to be in South Dakota, Nebraska, parts of western Iowa, Minnesota, and how much it would offset anything that's not coming in Ohio and Indiana. I hadn't thought about Illinois coming up short. I'm still not certain. I don't know. Do you think Illinois will come up very much short?
I don't know. I did make a stop on my way up to Chicago on Saturday, north of Gilman a little bit, and the corn looked really good. I mean, I didn't see any problems there. Nice, good size ears. It seemed like north of Champaign, yes, there's some dry areas, and I know some other areas have been hurt, from there north. But again, there's going to be some really good corn, in the state of Illinois, and soybeans. I mean, our particular farm, I think we're going to push a record, if not beat it, for corn. I don't know about beans because the forecast has went dry, and we still need rain in August to finish these soybeans.
Yeah, there are places in southern Illinois that just have had way too much rain up front,
Way too much.
and then really dry. But again, the acreage numbers are just not big enough
Right. Exactly.
to move the needle really. And I w did note that in Illinois, the crop scouts, well, they found disease, and there is southern rust in the northern part of the state. At least to this point, it hadn't blossomed out. And so, unlike in Iowa, where you heard about it a lot on X, not so much in Illinois. Just
Yeah.
noted that it was there, not that it was a problem. So we'll
Right.
see how all that turns out.
Yeah,
Oh,
exactly.
well, it'll be interesting to see what the numbers look like when they're released on Friday from the folks at Pro Farmer. There is a difference between the tour numbers and their national numbers, and even their statewide numbers when they give them. So we'll have those tomorrow, and I thank you for being with us all week. It's really great that you do this year in and year out for us.
You bet. Glad to do it.
That's Sherman Newland. He is traveling on the western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. He's with Risk Management Commodities, a division of Zahner Ag Hedge. Let's check on the global growing regions. We'll stay here in the Midwest mostly today with Mike Tenora. He's at T-Storm Weather, President and CEO there, tstorm.net online. Hi, Mike. Thanks for being with us. Let's get right to this because I think we've got some things to cover as it's related to the corn crop and the soybean crop. It's the month of August. Soybeans are an August crop. Corn, however, is in the midst of fill. A little rainfall usually is good for that. Dry conditions are not great for either crop. What do you see coming up?
Well, the setup has changed a little bit in recent weeks. If you look at the southeast 40% of U.S. corn and soybeans, they've dried out a lot over the last 2 to 3 weeks. And as we move forward, there's very little rain in the forecast. a large surface level high is forming, and that's going to keep a wide area dry over the next 10 days. So we don't think there's very much rain in the forecast for the Corn Belt. That could change a little bit in September with some showers and storms here and there. But basically, the 7-state Corn Belt is going to be drier to much drier than normal all the way into the end of the month. And even though this might be a little bit surprising to think about, especially if you're in the northern areas of the Corn Belt, this is going to end up being the driest August in the Corn Belt since either 2020 or 2013. And that's, again, due to all the rain that has been missing out in these southern and eastern growing areas.
As you look forward through the month, you don't see the rainfall. Is it cool through the month like we're starting out now?
Well, temperatures will be ideal over this period of time. We have a very cool air mass that's going to move in this weekend and then linger over much of next week. High temperatures will only be in the 60s and 70s in most of the Corn Belt, with lows in the 40s and 50s. So this is a big change, and those types of temperatures are pretty ideal. Now, the only thing we need to keep in mind is that it has been hot up until very recently, and it still will be hot today in the Western Corn Belt. So we're still kind of transitioning into that, and until we get there, there will be some stress on corn and maybe to some extent soybeans from all the heat that we've had. So this has been a challenging growing season in that regard, Todd. We've never really had a clean story. We've never had the cool and wet weather. We've never had the dry and hot weather, which are kind of the easiest ones to understand. It's always been kind of in the middle where it was hot and wet during parts of the season. Now it's very dry, but it's also going to be very cool. And just kind of a real mixed bag without ever kind of tapping into that either perfect scenario or the super problematic scenario, which are much easier to understand and discuss.
You know, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour scouts have been out all week. The one state that they don't get to that actually plays in the corn market is actually Kansas. It raises more corn than wheat by bushels. What do you see in the hard red winter wheat regions for that crop?
Well, Kansas has been getting some pretty fantastic rains all summer long. They've been very wet, and they're going to turn quite a bit wetter next week. We talked about all the dryness, but we kind of ignored that region a little bit because even though they do produce some corn, if you look at the southern plains from Colorado and Kansas down to the south, it's only about 7-8% of U.S. corn, and it's kind of planted a little bit differently than what we have further to the east. But they're going to get hammered by rainfall next week. While that cool air mass is sitting on the Corn Belt, it's going to allow for waves of energy to move along the southern edge of it, and that's a recipe for big thunderstorms in the plains. So Colorado, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas will more than likely see 1 to 3 inches of rain next week, starting on Sunday and Monday, and that will turn that portion of the corn crop wet, but that only accounts for maybe 2-3% of U.S. soybeans, so not much. But hard red winter wheat will have a full soil moisture basket heading into planting next month.
Thanks much. We'll talk with you again next week.
Sounds great, Todd. Thanks a lot.
Mike Tenor is with T-Storm Weather. That's tstorm.net online. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Medium. A quick reminder that you should come visit us in the University of Illinois tent at the Farm Progress Show next week. Up online at willag.org, you can see what's happening in the tent as it's related to the stage and which of the crop scientists, the agricultural economist, and many others will be visiting with us and what times and what days. Check it out and make sure that you put that on your list when you come to the Farm Progress Show in Decatur next week. Until then, I wish you a great afternoon and a fantastic week.